You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Hello and welcome back to another episode. So today we're going to talk about disappointment. So two episodes, I talked about how important vulnerability is for our children. And then last week, I talked about helping our children stay in the feeling of their guilt. If you missed that one, make sure you go back and listen to it because guilt is essential. And this week, I want to talk about how to actually keep our children in a moment of vulnerability when disappointment comes up. So many of us were conditioned to avoid our disappointment like it was going to harm us. You know, we heard things like suck it up and pull your socks up and that doesn't matter. You know, those more like 80s parenting comments. That's what a lot of us were modeled and conditioned to believe was true. But the tears that a child sheds when they're disappointed about something, when they've realized that something has happened that they didn't want to happen, and they've realized that they can't change it, those tears actually hold the stress hormones in them. It's incredible. So the body activates stress and adrenaline in order to solve a problem. But the body, in its incredible wisdom, when that problem can't be solved, it lets all the stress and tension out through the tears. So the tears are actually a release of the stress that was built up to solve the initial problem. It's amazing. I just love this process. So the tears are crucial. And they're crucial in reducing aggression. Because if a child isn't having these tears, then all of that stress and tension and frustration that gets activated in the body to solve problems is just sitting and staying in their body. And that's going to have to come out somehow. So the body's doing its best to try and regulate, but it's going to hit or kick or bite because the body's just trying to get that energy and that tension out of the body. But instead of through aggression, we want all of that built up frustration to come out through these tears. But to get the tears, we need a child to feel. And some children, especially our more sensitive ones, or, you know, very much our very bright and gifted children, this happens all the time, or a child's having a really hard time, they can be very good at avoiding these moments. So today, in today's episode, I want to share with you three specific ways that I actually hold my children in a moment of disappointment to try and help them really feel it. Because when they feel it, that's when those tears are more likely to come. And that's when we get to release that stress and tension that's been building up in the body. So the first is, don't rush to fix something. So one of my children came to me with broken, like there were these little fairy wings from their dress-up box. They were broken fairy wings. And they were really disappointed about this. And their tears started to flow. Now, I actually knew that I could probably fix the fairy wings, but I just sat there and looked at them. I was like, oh, they're broken. Now, I didn't want to jump immediately into fixing it because if I rushed to fix it, I was going to interrupt the process of that child who was having their tears. And those tears were about all of the things in their life that they couldn't change. It wasn't just about the fairy wings. And so instead of saying, oh, don't worry, I can fix this, I just sat in that moment with them and I let the tears flow. And once I could feel that my child had moved through that process and the tears had really come and they'd kind of resolved in some way, then I was able to talk about, oh, I wonder if we could put this back together. So the first point is to really don't rush into fixing things, because sometimes when things break, or things feel like they can't be fixed, it's actually a perfect opportunity for a child to access their disappointment about everything that's been happening in their life. And this is just like a less vulnerable, less intense opportunity. And so if we can hold them and pause there, then sometimes those tears can really start to flow. And the second thing is that sometimes I even avoid eye contact. And I look at the thing that has happened, so maybe something's broken or something's spilt, instead of my child's face. So let's say an object's broken. Instead of looking at my child, because that might feel too intense for them to really feel that disappointment and for the tears to start to flow. Now, this is not the case for all children. Some kids would love eye contact and they'd love an empathic look. But for other kids, that's too much. And so in those situations, then I'll look at the object and I won't really say much. I won't say things like, oh, that's disappointing. Because again, that kind of intense language can be too much and can take a child out of that moment and they won't be able to feel the disappointment. They'll say something like, no, it's fine. I don't care anyway. So instead, I'll just look at the object and be like, oh, or I'll just stay quiet and just pause. So I'm giving spaciousness for the child to be in that moment of disappointment without making it too intense by looking at them or speaking. And sometimes just altering that intensity by choosing not to look at them but look at the object that's spilt or broken can be and give them enough spaciousness for them to feel and for those tears to start to flow. Or at least it doesn't even matter so much if the tears flow. The first step is just that they get to feel that disappointment. And the third thing, so lastly, is my favorite way, which is to tell a story. So I talked about this last week, and I talked about changing the ending to the story of Goldilocks and having her access her guilt. In order to really help a child access disappointment, I love to use the story of Cinderella and to really pause on the part where she doesn't get to go to the ball. So I'll say something like, oh, and then her sisters made up even more jobs. And now she had to do the sweeping as well. So she thought she'd got through all of her list and she thought she was going to go to the ball. But then they gave her another list. Oh, she was so disappointed. She was so disappointed. She was never going to go to the ball. And this can have a really powerful impact in storytelling because it isn't so intense and it isn't so direct. So children can often access their disappointment through the story. Now, I have a whole workshop on this topic. I love this topic. It's one of my favorite things ever. I call it Feeling Fables, and it's 50% off this week. And inside this workshop, I talk about the 5 ways that I use storytelling to help my children feel their emotions and stay in their vulnerability. I also use it to do things like teach social skills, and I give you heaps of examples. I give you heaps of examples of what it would look like, how I create the stories, of characters you can use, of challenges you can use, of how you can end the stories. And I've had this workshop in the membership for a while now, and it's probably one of my most loved workshops. People give me the best feedback on this because it really does help children feel those emotions that in day-to-day life they weren't willing to feel. So I'll link that below. It's called Feeling Fables and it's on sale this week, 50% off. And it's just a powerful practice. And I love it because it's so natural. So you're kind of just sitting there, right? You're telling the story of Cinderella, but you're actually doing some powerful emotional processing work with your child, but it doesn't feel like that. And that's really important to me as a psychologist. I don't want to feel like I'm in therapy with my children, but I want to be able to help them access emotions and work through things. And storytelling is kind of the perfect middle ground for me. And it's such an ancient practice. It's how cultures have always passed down their wisdom. So I think it's just a really beautiful thing that we can do with our children. So as I said, I'll link Feeling Fables below. Check that out. Grab the sale price. It's only on this week only. So just to recap, the first thing to take out of today's episode is that disappointment is, like all emotions, absolutely crucial. And the tears that come from the emotion of disappointment are so powerful in resetting the nervous system. And it's actually going to be one of the best ways you can reduce your child's aggression. And so to really help your child access the emotion of disappointment, and even more ideally, the tears that might come from that, you can do 3 different things. Don't rush to fix something if it's broken. Just stay in the moment and see what happens. See if your child's emotion flows out. For some kids, avoiding eye contact and minimizing talking is actually a really important way of offering them the spaciousness to feel. And the third thing is that you can do things like tell stories like Cinderella. Okay, I hope that you've got a lot out of this one, and I hope that it really reminds you of how important all emotions are, but specifically helping your child access their disappointment. Okay, have a beautiful week, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at @RaisingHumansKind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly, and together we can raise humans.